Hello everybody and welcome to another episode of Turbijugend Radio. And it's actually a start of a new series, and I'll be calling that Turning Back the Cock. Meaning that we'll look at the history of events or certain extravagances that took place in years before. Since I noticed that I know that Turbo Negro is not playing at the very moment in this year. Unfortunately, so we'll look at the at events that actually moved us, and with me at this time are two fine gentlemen, which I've been known for years, and I've been partying and having lots of fun for years. And one of those is Hans von Meinkocht from Turbojugend, and I'm bu gonna butcher that for sure, and you're gonna correct me, please. Aotearoa U666.
No, that's pretty on board. New Zealand,
New
like
Zealand.
Aotearoa, New Zealand.
Oh yeah, that's your local New Zealandian dialect, I guess. And the other fine gentleman is Two Hawks Duncan from
Hello.
Turbijugend Aberdeen, who's been on board for, must be close to, I don't know, tell me, 20, 15 years?
Long.
Too long, too long. We're aging properly. That's at least that's what you're trying to say. But yeah, why did I choose you guys? You guys were at a very impressive concert and event that took place on the 1st of August in 2014 at the Grünspan. It was the Weltturbojugendtag number 10. And on that very Friday, there were two bands playing. I'm going to butcher that as well. Guida from Italy, which is a band that, well, I've seen various times. They were opening for Turbo Negro, or the reason why we all here, basically. And what made this night so very special was the insane amount of heat that at least got my brain to totally forget about what actually happened at the concert. I simply do not know. And since there were so many memories when I brought this up on the to on the Facebook, I choose to talk again about this very special event from 2014. And Hans, why don't you start sharing your impressions of that evening, in case you have any? And
I mean,
feel free to yes.
this is the problem that honestly, it took me all weekend to work out. You said 2014, it took me all weekend to work out which year it was because it's such a that the night was so hot. I'm sure somebody said the day after that they had a thermometer or something or some way to do the temperature, and it was 58 degrees upstairs.
That's
So
Celsius, right? That's
somebody said it was
Celsius.
like
I heard
58 centigrade upstairs, which is fucking mental, isn't it? Like,
that.
for me, I didn't even know there was another band playing because I think I went in before the first band played. So Guido from Italy, it was too hot, and I just came outside. I was like, "Fuck it, I'm not going to spend. I don't know this band, and I'm not going to spend, 45 minutes watching a band I don't know. I'm a sweaty guy anyway. Like, I'm a sweaty guy when it's cold. So being in there when it was so hot." Just absolutely nuts. All I can remember, I mean, I would go in for two songs and then be about to fall over and then have to come back out again and then stay outside for another three songs and then go in for a song and then come out again. I
You're
know
talking
some
about
people
Turbo
stayed
Negro?
there for the whole time.
Yeah.
I can't believe it.
Well,
Well,
yeah,
remember,
I Grünspan actually had all the doors open, the front doors open, so you could actually stand in the street and watch the fucking band if you were that inclined.
I think they started selling beers outside, didn't they? Because there were so many people just outside. I remember being able to buy a beer outside
During the
rather
Turbo
than having
Negro
to go
concert?
into the bar.
Was that during the Turbo concert?
I'm
Oh,
pretty
yeah.
sure. I'm sure the bar was they were selling beers like just out of like buckets and stuff. But I'm pretty sure you could buy beers outside. Everywhere was just like bottles of water being like thrown over everyone.
Oh yeah.
When they're walking around with buckets of ice, that
Yes.
you could just like take ice off people and just like cool yourself down and
I remember that. So I remember people going like not only being handed ice cubes, but also like diving over the bar just to grab some because of pure, not panic, but pure personal need, I would say.
Yeah.
And I remember people, men and women, like rubbing ice cubes onto each other's upper bodies because of the necessary need, actually. There was
You
no
think
way of not doing it.
it's probably the soberest I've ever been to a Tibonego gig anyway. Didn't matter. I mean, the beer tastes shit anyway, but it was just coming out on pores. It was just so
There was
hot.
no way of getting drunk, actually, because you were drinking
No.
and you just, I don't know, you just lost it. I mean, with me and the Bengal, we were actually debuting our black mouthpieces. Remember that? There are pictures out there. We were debuting them and wanted we want actually we went into the pits because we back in the day we always did that for the whole concert. And just impossible. It was impossible. After three songs you had to leave because otherwise you would collapse just like that.
Yeah, I was going to say, but just before they came on, I made my way down to the, not the front, but more or less to the pit. And I think I lasted two, maybe three songs, and I had to get the fuck out of there. It was just, this is unbelievable. I lost so
Well,
much weight that night.
yeah,
Yeah,
you would think that it being that hot, you could, because if you get really cold, you sober up, don't you? But you think being hot would make it easier, but no, it's the opposite. Like, I think it's probably the only time, at least at that portion of the night, we'll talk about afterwards, but at least at that portion of the night, I was like, yeah, incredibly sober. But you were downing beers so quickly. Actually, getting beers purely to put them on your forehead and rub them on your chest when they were hot, because I feel like the beers didn't last that long either. They weren't cold beers. The ones outside weren't that cold. They were obviously just sitting around in buckets. I don't think they were in buckets of ice either. But I feel like the cold beer kind of ran out at some point as well, because so many people were like buying it just to sort of at least cool yourself down with. Did you guys actually stay? I mean, I spent probably a third, maybe a quarter of the. I remember a few songs. I remember seeing "I've Got a Erection" and a couple of other songs. Like, but I can't remember exactly what boss it. But did you guys stay inside the whole time?
I made the mistake of going upstairs.
Oh, so hello to 55. I think that the it showed upstairs that it was 55 degrees, which is, by the way, for our American audience, it's 135 probably Fahrenheit. I mean, I don't even know. And please explain or try to explain that to me, how that is possible if the like the temperature outside was in the 30s, I think. It was a really hot night, August, right? But how can just the assemb like people assembled in a room, how can this multiply the temperature to almost double the degrees? How
Yeah.
is this working?
If you look
Was
at
it a
the
sellout?
photos, I mean, it was a sold out gig, wasn't it? Yeah, so I was about to say. There were so many people there. Even when I went up, made a mistake of going upstairs, it was fucking busy upstairs as well. It was so bloody busy.
But how can it go up above 40? I mean, nobody had fever. Maybe, well,
That's
I don't know.
crazy.
How can it still? I know. I would think there's a limit to your body temperature. Okay, add some moisture, what and whatnot. But usually, the it doesn't. It doesn't really tell. It's not telling that there's a moisture in the air. It's just the temperature upstairs, as you smartly found out. Was upstairs and it was 135 degrees Fahrenheit. I mean, how is this working? How is this working? Just by people, cr like lots of
Yeah.
people standing around? Is that really
I
how
mean,
it works?
I'm
It
pretty
was
sure my
so.
hawks never lasted anyway.
Yeah. I mean, it was so hot that like it must have been well above like, 100% humidity. I remember doors when they opened doors and stuff, you could see like the steam just Yes.
coming straight out.
In the
And if
summer.
you in the summer, and if you looked up, yeah, so I mean it's hot and humid anyway. If you looked up, you could see the ceiling, and obviously it's a really big ceiling in Grinspoon. You could see it dripping, like, so steam was basically coming off people on the top and just dripping down.
It was a really microcosm, a functioning microcosm with rain and everything and fog.
I remember, do you know Hugh? He's the other New Zealand guy that was living in England at the time. He came out afterwards and just wrung out his kute. And I mean, he wasn't the only person, I think. Like, people's kute were just absolutely soaked through. that with so much sweat from everybody. And I mean, just disgusting people just with their shirts off, just covered. I mean, I'm old now. I never liked it when I was that age. I fucking hate it now. But just disgusting people with their shirts off, just sliding over everyone else.
But everybody was like man, female, no borders there. But nobody had
some
a problem with it.
Some people paid good money for that.
Yeah, I mean, I remember with my Kuta, of course, with me and my brother Bengal, we were after the gig, we were going to Indra next door because I think Turbo was hanging out there, and we put our Kuta at the foosball table, right? This table soccer thing, and we just put them there to hang out. And after 2 minutes, there was literally water, a little pond of water below them. I've never seen anything like that. There was like literally dripping water through the whole Kuta. And the good thing is that since Bengal and yours truly, we like each other so much, we were out of pure, well, celebration. We were exchanging the sweaty Kuta on the spot inside at the concert.
It was just, I think we went back to Fred's afterwards. But is that, this is the year that people got their Kuta stolen, didn't they, as well? Because people were drying out their Kuta and Fred's, and somebody came and just swiped a couple of them.
Oh, really? Dumbass, it's all over. But I mean, you could not wear that. You wore your Kuta after that. There's no way. I mean, because eventually the night got chillier if you were outside of the concert and the wind came. I mean, you'll just get a damn cold wearing it. And that night I found out that this a second or third Kuta is really worth having in Hamburg.
Normally when I go to Hamburg, I normally wear my sleeveless Kuta, my Aberdeen one. But that night, that gig, I wore one with sleeves, and it's like, fuck, I'm stupid. wore one with sleeves, and I went upstairs. It's like, Jesus. We're not known for our brains in Aberdeen.
Well, some of us only had the one Kuta. Once it got... So, I mean, it probably needed to be... I know we're not meant to talk about washing Kuta, but if you've been around for long enough, you might have had to use it at one point. There are ways of doing it. One of them was putting it in a washing machine and washing it. But, I mean, so we're talking about, like, you know, being very, very sober there. I think it was so hot that night that once you got out, I don't know about, I just started drinking as soon as we got back and just basically didn't stop drinking until, I think this is the same year that I drank Poppers at Fred's on the Friday night. So I don't think that was even that late. That was only like 1-2 o'clock in the morning or something.
No, it was earlier than that. It was still daytime. Yeah.
So I mean, it was after the gig, but it wasn't that for long after the gig. So it was so hot that I just had to drink to the point where I don't remember doing it, but and then I had to go throw up at Fred's. Somebody drained me to the toilet to throw up, I hugged the toilet.
Saw you throwing up.
If I didn't need to wash my Kuta after sweating through it, I definitely needed to wash it after
which makes it legal.
Giving a big
I
beer
think
hug.
That was a perfectly well scheduled move. You just threw up on it. Okay, it's cool. I can wash it.
Yeah, I think you know.
Yeah, I mean, I heard stories that people were walking back to the hotel and blow drying or whatever's right.
Blow drying.
Talking about the Kuta now. I mean, it was insane, really. Your Kuta probably aged 4 or 5 years in one night, right?
Always good going home after World Tag in your Kuta. It's stinking, and nobody wants to sit next to you in the bus, train.
Well, that gives you space, in a way.
Has its benefits.
Yeah, I mean,
well, this is it.
It was really an amazing night in Hamburg, and I just picture if that could ever happen again. I mean, Turbo.
Well, we changed the dates a few times because it was August, July. I'm sure, there was there one in September. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I struggle to remember dates. I remember the early ones I went to, but when after that it gets because I'm getting old and decrepit and whatnot, it all seemed to merge into one. But that was slightly different because of the insane temperatures of the gig. That was the main talking point for that weekend. I've been so many times now, but I can't actually pinpoint what year something's happened.
As we were putting this episode together, we were just scrambling of getting it. Was it 13 or 14? But as I know, Turbo Negro refuses to play Grünspan because of that very night. Because of that heat. So that they played, I think, 13 and 14, which like makes only sense that they, since they played the last time there, it's got to be 10 years ago in the summer. It's going to be 2014 when they were actually playing that concert. Can you imagine being on stage? I mean, this is even more drastic, I would say.
On the bonus side, they're getting paid to sweat.
Exactly. And we give money to sweat. I mean, I would have given money actually to because I was told in a beforehand that there were, which is got to be the act of the night, that there was a couple like having a romantic endeavor.
You know what? I was going to ask if you're going to mention this. Well, if it was bad enough to be up the front just existing, how the fuck were people having sex? My understanding is, I mean, I wasn't even near there, but my understanding is they were fucking against the barrier. Is that right?
I didn't see it. I was focusing on the band.
I've got a sneaking suspicion who I might know who that is, but I'm not going to mention any names because
I think I know too, but you know, well,
yeah,
that's it.
But how can anybody, especially the male, how can he actually do it? He's got to be in porn. I mean, how can you ever, with 55 degrees of Celsius, perform? It's beyond
various things you can use to help.
Oh yeah,
I guess you don't need foreplay if everyone's already wet to start with.
Oh yeah, that's probably right. But I mean, kudos to this stallion of a man, which I don't personally know, and I'm not going to ask you guys. It's got to be private. If he's listening to the podcast, feel free to call me, and you'll have your own episode on that episode.
I don't think she's still around anyway. Let's put it that way.
All right.
Honestly, like, I think that's the thing. Like, because you heard about it. Well, I heard about it the next day, but it was like, Jesus, full credit to that person.
Yes.
You know, as I said, it's hard enough work when it's when you've got some air conditioning, let alone when you're in a sauna surrounded by sweaty denim.
And in public. Which is also a factor. That's
maybe that helps some people.
Well, yeah, I was going to say some people like it in public.
Yeah. Well, I gotta go into more details because we don't actually remember that. But what we all remember is it's an awesome night we all spent in Hamburg, and it was for me personally, it was a real highlight of my Turbo Negro concerts. Totally. Yeah. I mean, for that reason, not for the music necessarily, because I don't remember that anyway, but. I've seen like 16, 17 Turbo concerts in my life, I guess, and it was a good concert and everything, but the heat of the night, right? The heat was what really made it for me.
I agree. I don't remember much about the music. I remember the support band, but when Turbo came on, it was like
survival mode, basically.
Pretty much.
It's not only is it the hottest gig I've ever been, I think it's probably the hottest I've ever been. You know, it's hotter than Southeast Asia. It's like, I've never been to India, but I imagine it was hotter than, you know, just the humidity and the heat and the people all around you. And Jesus fucking Christ.
Yeah, I mean, they helped. I mean, can you picture what... I was working out there and I was thinking, okay, there must have been some people collapsing in there. So the risk for the Grünspan guys who set the whole thing up was really high, actually. And because we took so good care of each other, and like it or not, by rubbing ice cubes onto each other and feeding us beer, water, and whatnot, we actually probably with this great group spirit of ours help people from, you know, getting hurt?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, I spoke to my wife about it, and she's like, well, why did nobody die? Why did nobody get hurt? And it's like, yes. It's funny because most issues at World Tag, or if there's any issues, so to speak, nobody ever gets hurt, but I know of, unless you have involvement with prostitutes or whatever. But yeah, nobody gets hurt. No, I don't. I mention that for a reason, but yeah, we always seem to look out for each other. Yeah, we don't necessarily like each other, but you always look out for one another. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I don't remember anyone getting taken out from like fainting, or I don't remember anyone like, you know, being, you know, unwell. I think people were obviously looking after each other, sending people out when they needed to be sent out. You could hear the band outside anyway, so it wasn't really a problem. Outside was actually a really good, really good time. So I spent most of the time outside rather than watching the band inside. And it was just a really good time. Just sitting around drinking beers. You've got the soundtrack not too far away from you. It was outside was very pleasant. It was, you know, it was like maybe 30 degrees or something close to that. But on a nice night, you know, that's a really good time.
That's why I like the venue as a Canoost. It has the boardwalk outside, and that's ace. Mm-hmm. You can just sit outside and chill, and that's what I missed. I really like that venue.
Yeah. You should definitely talk to Arnie about Canoost again. But, I mean, we're happy to have Molotov, so don't get that wrong.
I mean, up there. Yeah. It's Molotov outside. That's pretty good. That's perfect.
Yes.
But right, gentlemen. Mm-hmm. Okay, when you go.
No. All with you, Duncan.
No, I was just going to say the first time I went to Molotov, and when I was smoking, I would go out the front of the house and smoke. And then it was about 2 days I've been doing this. And then somebody tapped me in the shoulder and says, oh, just go through that door. There's a courtyard just smoking. It's like, did you not tell me that 2 days ago, you fuckers? Yeah. So, yeah, went through the back and it's like glorious courtyard. No, it's a great venue. Molotov is excellent. Great venue. Great.
And I cannot wait to see all the cool bands that Arne is putting up again this year. Hopefully, mm-hmm. it's going to be staying around for next year, which would be 25. But we'll have to see, I guess. Right, gentlemen, thank you so much for taking your time and reliving through that heat of the night, that awesome night on August 1st in 2014, some tender almost 10 years ago. It was a great experience, and I thank you so much for taking your time, sharing all your personal, sweaty memories with me. And hope you guys are going to having a great spring, and hope you guys, I will have you guys back on the podcast very, very soon. Take good care and keep sweating, I guess.
Yeah. I don't know about you guys, but I'm hoping for nice gray skies and a cool breeze this year at Jürgentag. So fingers crossed.
Come to Scotland, Aidan. It's like that every fucking day.
I mean, Manchester, not too far off. It's, you know, just add a bit of rain there as well. So
that should help.
We'll see you both in Hamburg.
Yeah, see you guys.
See you guys.
Cheers, mate.
Whoa, huffing and puffing after that hot night in Hamburg in 2014 brings us to the end of the podcast with an appropriate song by Turbo Negro, a band that have not had on the podcast as a cream puff for quite some time. So I figured they probably have a song that deals with hotness or the heat. And I came up with a song from Retox. Very good album. We talked about that on the podcast on one episode. We had an album review if you guys want to check out. But yes, this song is from Retox. It is called Hot and Filthy. It's a song that has been played live, I think, and I've heard it, but it's not being played live. these days or these years, one has to say. Yeah, but it's very appropriate, and I couldn't come up with a better song. And I don't need to, because it's actually a very good song and a very appropriately fitting song. Turmeric Grove from their album Retox, Hot and Filthy.